Lake Michigan is teeming with life. But over time, its food web, from the smallest plankton to the largest fish, has been impacted. Overfishing and waves of invasive species have been taking their toll. And now climate change is flexing its muscles in the Lake Michigan ecosystem. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz has the story as we continue our series, Thin Ice, Wisconsin's Warming Winters.
If you want to put this past very warm winter in context, nobody does it better than Paul Rober. The UWM Distinguished Professor of Atmospheric Science says get ready for more winters like this one.
Well, it's been an incredibly warm winter globally and, of course, locally. And we've been seeing it in terms of ice coverage on the Great Lakes. Obviously, that's been a declining amount of ice on the lakes for years now, actually. The overall trend is clearly downward.
We met at Bradford Beach on a recent clear and balmy morning. Obviously, there was no ice in sight.
From my standpoint, it's the impact on Great Lakes water levels that's most relevant. And the reason for this is a weird aspect of freshwater.
In the summer and winter, the Great Lakes stratify, forming thermal layers, cooler at the bottom, warmer at the top. Twice a year, in the spring and again in the fall, the layers turn over or mix. It happens when the lake's surface reaches 4 degrees Celsius. That's 39.2 degrees Fahrenheit. Oxygen from the lake's surface circulates to the bottom, and nutrients trapped deep in the lake are distributed throughout it. The phenomenon is vital to the lake's ecosystem. Rober says during the spring cycle,
if there's ice, then it has to melt, and then it has to continue to warm up to 4 degrees. The overturning goes again, and from that point on, now you have the most stable water at the surface, and it can warm up.
But Rober says when ice is absent, such as during this warmest winter on record, things change drastically.
Because it accelerates this overturning process by several weeks, and that means that that layer of water at the surface with no ice gets a chance to warm up much more quickly than otherwise. So the following summer, you'll have much warmer surface water temperatures, and that has an impact on evaporation out of the lake, and that has an impact on lake levels.
The Great Lakes have experienced swings in lake levels, more recently dramatic swings, at times buffeting coastal areas, at others impacting water intakes in marinas. Harvey Bootsma is puzzling out how life beneath the surface stands up to the lake's lows and highs, and now as warm winters become pretty much the new normal. Take plankton, the foundation of the food web.
If the lake is warmer, plankton tends to grow faster under warmer conditions.
But plankton relies on phosphorus, found at the bottom of the lake, to fuel its growth.
By being warm, the lake remains in a stratified condition for longer throughout the year. There's this warm surface layer and this cold bottom layer, and there's restricted mixing between those two layers.
That would stop the nutrients at the lake's bottom from reaching the plankton up top.
They're not getting the nutrients that they need to grow.
Scientists will also be watching how species like lake whitefish and lake trout fare under warming conditions.
They spawn in late fall, early winter, and the eggs hatch in the spring.
Normally, there'd be plenty of plankton for the wee ones to feed on.
One possible scenario now is that as the lake warms up, the fish may still lay their eggs at the same time, but the temperature of the water affects the maturation rate of those eggs and of the embryos in those eggs. And now if they hatch sooner...
And if plankton is not plentiful...
Those fish larvae are coming out and finding that there's not that much food to eat, so that could result in declines in some of the fish populations.
Bootsma is one of a fleet of scientists around the Great Lakes, trying to understand the workings of the lake's ecosystems, how they're changing, in order to come up with management strategies.
There's some simple questions we can answer, but when you're looking at the ecosystem as a whole, there are multiple factors that you have to consider, and multiple organisms and processes within the system that you have to consider when you're figuring out how it's going to respond.
Bootsma says the scientific community, more than ever before, will need to be nimble in anticipation of what might come up next to challenge the Great Lakes. Susan Bentz, 89.7, WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.